This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness recognizes what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. It does not pardon sins and make them real. It sees there was no sin. And in that view are all your sins forgiven. What is sin except a false idea about God's Son? Forgiveness merely sees its falsity and therefore lets it go. What then is free to take its place is now the will of God. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to doubt, although it is not true. The mind is closed and will not be released. The thought protects projection, tightening its chains so that distortions are more veiled and more obscure, less easily acceptable to doubt, and further kept from reason. What can come between a fixed projection and the aim that it has chosen as its wanted goal? You listen. An unforgiving thought does many things. In frantic action, it pursues its goal, twisting and overturning what it sees as interfering with its chosen path. Distortion is its purpose and the means by which it would accomplish it as well. It sets about its furious attempts to smash reality without concern for anything that would appear to pose a contradiction to its point of view. Look, forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing. It offers no aspect of reality, nor seeks to twist it to appearances it likes. It merely looks and waits and judge us not. He who would not forgive must judge, for he must justify his failure to forgive. But he who would forgive himself must learn to welcome truth exactly as it is. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do through him who is your guide, your savior, and your protector, strong in hope and certain of your ultimate success. He has forgiven you already, for such is his function given him by God. Now must you share his function and forgive whom he has saved, whose sinlessness he sees, and whom he honors as the Son of God. And there, for all of us to enjoy in the entirety of our concepts that we have about ourselves in regard to the apparent intense need being fostered by those of us who have occupied body forms, is as good a description within what we term a course in the miracle of the conversion of your conceptual identity about what you're not, the manner in which forgiveness is accomplished. Obviously, you understand conceptually somewhere within your own mind that there's nothing to forgive. The reason you can understand it conceptually is that if there is a whole universe, if there is a single power in all of reality, in an eternal extension of itself, if there is a truth that is contained in all of life, it's impossible that you're not sharing it within the containment of yourself. Look with me. Why is it then that you appear to have a dilemma of who you are and where you are in this location? The simplest answer that I can give you within your own conceptual mind is the idea that it must be reasonably an apparent separation from what everything is. Let's share together our solution. I appear to be separate from what everything is. I appear to be, these are the justices of the truth of the love of God taught by my Savior Jesus Christ in this workbook of A Course in Miracles that says it is impossible that the justice that you employ in which to keep yourself in the conflict and the sin of your idea of separation and loss and pain that is then justified within your own mind as a form of justice in which we appear to practice together our need to find equanimity in the idea that our associations with each other in what appeared to be separate body forms find ideas of a pertainment of mercy contained within the totality of the idea, and let's use a term here, if I intend to teach this through Jesus, of sin. It's a basic idea, sin, or the idea of guilt, or the idea that somehow your mind is separate. It's a fundamental idea that once the consequences of separation within space-time have occurred, now I'm using a dimensional reassociation of a formulation of location in space-time, it's impossible for you to see that the reflection of light that you receive back from yourself in body form is not a misplacement of yourself in the moment where you projected the apparent solution to yourself from yourself that now returns to you with evidence of an old memory of you that you hold in your mind that's now over and gone. That's as close as you're going to get in the New Testament of Jesus, if you want to practice it with me, as what sin is. It's very simply the idea that you are momentarily off the mark in the identity of your body formulation. Do you see that with me? We began to practice these last lessons that occurred after lesson 220. And they will be ideas of expressions of what is a miracle? What is a body? Where am I? You see that? The continuing needs on your part to find solutions to the justice of God that we seek in our association with each other. Certainly we want to be fair. Certainly we want to judge each other somehow in what can give us some sort of peace and happiness within our own formulation. But we apparently search in vain because the structure of our mind in the invention of life as representing temporal ideas of location in time will always deny us somewhere within time an access to the idea that the formulation of the thought that I just had about that body form now becomes a separate body in my own mind, and I now attempt to reformulate with you a new body formulation, even though with any aggregation of thought about myself, I can see that I am now constituting myself as a body form within a reflection of light, in which when I appear to look at you, the truth of the matter is I have absolutely no idea about who you are in that body form. Shall I tell you why? I'm in sin. This is the kata. It's the word in Aramaic that Jesus loves to use in the idea of bishop, the idea that I'm off the mark, so that every time I get a reflection, I'm not quite sure that's yours. So I hold a grievance against you because I can't recognize you. Now, at that point, I decide to forgive you. But as I read you at the beginning of this lesson, I need do nothing to be forgiven if it is in fact true that somewhere, not necessarily within the fabric of space-time, but certainly not excluding it, I must be the love of God. Doesn't God love us all? Would you like to practice with me the idea that you consider yourself to be very sinful? That you consider yourself, in the recognition of yourself, you're filled with all of the regret that you feel about the things that have appeared to happen within your body. Here I am coming along, and I've practiced with you the idea that you're not a body. But if you're not a body, why is it that you're so completely occupied with the idea within your formulation of self that you are? Shall I tell you why? You're in sin. Because sin is an idea of being separate from what everything is. Shall we give it a better definition? Let's look at it. Listen with me. What is sin? Sin is insanity. It is the means by which the mind is driven mad and seeks to let illusions take the place of truth. And being mad, it sees illusions where the truth should be and where it really is. Listen, Sin gives the body eyes, for what is there, the sinless would behold. What need have they of sights or sounds or touch if they are sinless? What would they hear or reach to grasp? What would they sense at all? To sense is not to know, and truth can be but filled with knowledge and with nothing else. The body is the instrument the mind make in its effort to deceive itself. Its purpose is to strive. Yet can the goal of striving change? And now the body serves a different aim for striving. What it seeks for now is chosen by the aim that the mind has taken as replacement for the goal of self-deception. Truth can be its aim as well as lies. And the sense then will seek instead for witnesses to what is true. Sin is the home of all illusions, which but stand for things imagined, issuing from thoughts that are untrue. They are the proof that what has no reality is real. Sin proves God's Son is evil. Timelessness must have an end. Eternal life must die. And God himself has lost the Son that he loves, with but corruption to complete himself. His will forever overcome by death. Love slain by hate, and peace to be no more. Listen with me. A madman's dream are frightening, and sin appears indeed to terrify. And yet what sin perceives is but a childish game. The Son of God may play, he has become a body, prey to evil and to guilt, with but a little life that ends in death. But all the while, his Father shines on him and loves him with an everlasting love, which his pretenses cannot change at all. Question? How long, O Son of God, will you maintain the game of sin? Shall we not but put these sharp-edged children's toys away? How long will you be ready to come home? Perhaps today there is no sin. Creation is unchanged. Would you still hold return to heaven back? How long, O Holy Son of God, how long? How long, O Holy Son of God? How long? How long? Thank you for how long. The practice of this idea of the workbook of the mind training of the Course in Miracles have placed you in a place in space-time where how long becomes a very real avenue of escape from the idea of sin or separation within your own mind. Will you share with me why that is true? The idea of space-time, the idea that you could be separate in this little place of location, of in and within a factoring of yourself, is what we just read, is what sin is. It's as though that in all the universe, for just that moment, at what we termed the speed of light, since you believe in the relativity of the power of light association, in the longevity of distances between beginnings and ends, that how long is a valid question. The obvious problem that you have, if you'd like to share it with me, that the place that you now have come into in the idea of separation is being maintained by you as though somehow, now you're really in sin, that you have no control over the factoring of the place and time in which you find yourself. This is the occurrence of the vital need. Say to me, salvation. Salvation. I love to teach the teaching of Jesus Christ. Obviously, the reason then that you would be a savior of the world, you're going to hear it with me from Jesus, when he appears here as traveling in time with you, undergoes a transformation of his body identity. We use the term baptism. He's baptized in the fire of light, in the conversion of his body. Water uses hydrogen and oxygen and a power of light that's a billion times greater than your body formulation. And he now appears clothed in an entirety of you in a new light factor that, say to me, is sinless. Oh, okay. Because the reflection that he receives back from himself is nothing but a momentary true reflection of what he is within the body association. Practice. What is resurrection? Answer. You are. Your body reformulation in what was previously demonstrated to you as your necessity to be guilty within a fabric of space-time can be instantly relieved by the simple recognition that the body formulation of you within the science idea that there is no distance between causation and its effects. Important that you heard this, that there is no distance between what appears to be the cause of you in the universe and the results you're getting. Allow you in the forgiveness idea that we just read about to momentarily release the defenses of the fear that is contained in the fundamental sense of your sin in the idea that you are separate from eternal love. Because you're not. That re-identity of you in what is salvation and what is the resurrection now become an important factor. Because if what we're offering each other is true, look with me now, come on, Passion of the Christ, that the mind of Jesus reappeared here momentarily, that you recognized him and departed this association, is as true a matter as in which I can instruct you in the curriculum of our Course in Miracles. Listen with me now. This is a direct statement from me as what they term the master teacher to you. A variation in the idea that that mind right there that just recognized me within its own body form is somehow different than that mind right there that just recognized me in its body form is nothing at all but the fundamental admission that the minds that we inhabit communicate in their entirety, first with their separate selves in the identity of the conflict of the enclosure in sin, you see that? A quantum loop of sinfulness. Let's try it that way. Since you are guilty of a continuing reflection of yourself that appears to be contained in your body form. Trust me with this. Yet is the capacity for you to resurrect within a fabric of light instantly performed in that moment of the reconfiguration of your body form. What happens? You turn and you recognize another body form that is now sharing with you, let's try communication, the immediacy of the possibility for us to actually communicate with each other in the single power of God that we know is true. Thank you. I'm going to use the word privilege here. I totally enjoy having seen the resurrection of Jesus as demonstrated in this Passion of the Christ, now being demonstrated by many, many, many associations in their conversion of their mind. We recognize the love that we're sharing and the certainty that this time and this place that we thought that we were in is not true. We don't have to stay. The provision of the correction procedure and an increase in the intensity of the power of the universe immediately eliminates in a visual identity of the conflict of sin the necessity to find another body out there. We now accept the entirety of the guilt of our sinship. In a joyous realization that we have been forgiven. And we recognize instantly that there was absolutely nothing to forgive except what? Fear that the light of God was all around us. And once we admitted that within the perspective of the training of our mind, that's what we really wanted. It occurred, and we left this place and are gone, never to return. But I'm going to be gone for just that one period of time. Then I'm going to be back, and we'll determine, thankful and thanks to you, that 1,000 years have passed, and we're not going to go out there, but rather stand in this time and place. Because God is going with us wherever we go, being the mind with which we think. And we're going to say together, God, bless us, each and every one. Yeah, but what is creation? Creation is the sum of all God's thoughts, in number infinite and everywhere without all limit. Only love creates, and only light itself. There was no time when all that it created was not there. Nor will there be a time when anything that it created suffers any loss. Forever and forever are God's thoughts exactly as they were and as they are, unchanged through time and after time is done. God's thoughts are given all the power that their own Creator has, for he would add to love by its extension. Thus his Son shares in creation and must therefore share in power to create. What God has willed to be forever one will still be one when time is over and will not be changed throughout the course of time, remaining as it was before the thought of time began. Creation is the opposite of all illusions, for creation is the truth. Creation is the Holy Son of God, for in creation is his will complete in every aspect, making every part container of the whole. Its oneness is forever guaranteed, inviolate, forever held within his holy will, beyond all possibility of harm, of separation, imperfection, and of any spot upon its sinlessness. We are creation, we the sons of God. We seem to be discreet and unaware of our eternal unity with him. Yet back of all of our doubts, past all our fears, there still is certainty, for love remains with all its thoughts, its sureness being theirs. Listen, God's memory is in our holy minds, which know their oneness and their unity with their Creator. Let our function be only to let this memory return, only to let God's will be done on earth, only to be restored to sanity and to be but as God created us. Our Father calls to us, we hear his voice, and we forgive creation in the name of its Creator, holiness itself, whose holiness is his own creation share, whose holiness is still a part and parcel of us. His whole identity of the reasonableness of an idea of the possibility, listen with me, conceptual mind, that you are going to be included in with everything. Whether or not the particulars of your sinful identity of yourself as contained in the idea of the fabric of the associations of light form within the energy dim the perspectives of the sinful nature of yourself, in any idea of all of the universe, there must be an inclusion of everything that there is. All of the late explanations of the idea of self-conceptual containment somehow like to foster an infinite number of possibilities of the ideas of locations in space-time where we may identify in a science approach within the religiosity of ourselves a fundamental certainty that in its most basic sense, and listen, everything is going on all the time. In the causal loop, one of the late science ideas, that at any single moment you may find yourself, listen with me, in an entirely different situation in which you previously had memorized yourself. I'm teaching from the certainty of my own resurrection and yours. Thank you. There were some instructions at the break we decided to come back with the idea that it would be possible for you to recognize each other within the whole idea of what creation is, we could teach you practice that in the moment of the miracle, if you're listening, you became a moment of nothing. And in that moment, you became everything. Notice that in the idea of creation, there is no indication that you need separate your conceptual mind from what you will be in the power of the possibility of a decision that you could make. All the new evidence coming out about science simply pertain to the idea that finally, by examination, the universe is nothing. And they're absolutely right. Look with me. If we can't, through the practice of our own mind, release the idea, let's say with sinship for a minute, the idea that there's a deviation within my own mind, within a containment of the power of my mind, though while I may recognize others outside of myself, they appear to be separate from me within the idea of space-time. The curriculum of A Course in Miracles is designed solely, you listen to me, human conceptual being, to save you some time. Thank you. I'm trying to save you a little time right now. And sure enough, you've been practicing the idea that these lessons on a daily basis are actually alternating continually your association with yourself in time. Did that give you a moment of joy? Was that moment actually in any way connected to your conceptual judgment of yourself? If it was, it could only remain joyful in your determination to hold on to it within your body formulation. Live within that frequency of the idea that I am formulated in this body. Get old, get sick, and die because I am holding memory of all the joy and peace that I found that appeared to be over. And while I have projected them into the future as an old memory, I have failed to remember that at this moment I may increase the frequency through forgiveness of the conflict and pain and revenge that have motivated me to organize matrices of energy, of hate and distrust into the simple, singular admission of my responsibility for saviorship. My Savior, Jesus Christ, demonstrates and need demonstrate to me my necessity to accept the entirety of the power of my mind to remain in the conflict of the condemnation of myself within my body identity of being guilty. The answer that I have given you in the reasonableness of your mind is that you are guilty. But since you cannot be guilty in sin or separation of yourself, the necessity is simply to be guilty both of the joy and happiness that you feel and the sin and rejection and pain and attack that you foster on what appears to be a brother out there, a body out there. Very simply, you listen to me now. As we used to use, there ain't nobody out there. There isn't anybody out there that's attacking you. The attack that's going on in the defense of your sinfulness, in the definition of yourself, that fosters the idea of sin and loneliness and death in your body form, are only contained in you. Thank you for that revelation of light. I could see immediately that you have been using these devices of forgiveness that actually operate in their entirety between my old body associations projected into the future with the remembrance that I am back in time through the auspices of Jesus into the entirety of the admission of that single instant in time. In that moment of terror, of fear, of loneliness, of loss, took the place of the truth of love that I'm feeling for you. And the joy that I just felt in your recognition of love for this association here allows us to share moments of the entirety of communication with the recognition in practice. Say to me, there is no world. Yes. You have been successful in the accumulation of the idea of light energy form. My, that was bright. Thank you. The accumulation of the idea in the entirety of the universe by increasing the frequency of the power of light to recognize yourself, that the certainty of that power was contained in you, within the memory of your mind, cannot not be the power of the universe. And somewhere you finally decided not to resist the inevitable. You know what? Regardless of how much guilt you intend to hold in the idea that justice must be exacted from you in the crucifixion of my Savior, we admit together that in the passion of the Christ, we have been forgiven. And that he is resurrected. And in his resurrection was the loss of our necessity to go through another performance of this body association. Let's use me for just a moment here as an advanced teacher who remains in continuing conversion of his body, that all around you are new evidences of healing factors of our physical body. The joy within this little containment of the conversion of your individual light are healing you in ideas about what your body form was. There's no need that you know in certainty it's a matrix of energy, and in fact it's nothing but a reflection of light, but one thing for sure, if you're going to get a reflection of the power of your mind to decide that you want to be in a body form and suffer from sickness and loneliness and death, such will it be with you. Yet the power to change your mind about yourself are the evidence that you have already admitted that you're changing your mind all the time. Yet you have been hell-bent on remembering this little enclosure, which you now allow to be a part within the universe of the entirety of the billions of galactic associations of time that heretofore had been unable to communicate. And that's going to occur in the question that we have always posed to each other somewhere in space-time. Who am I? What am I? Where am I? Why am I? You're whole and perfect as you created. That's what you are. And it must be true since I am within your mind fabric telling you it's true. When I say to you that this world lasted but a moment in your mind with no effects on you entirely, I mean that. You can contract all of the ideas you want about the retention and collapse of the universe in our galactic association. All I want to assure you of that you can't exclude yourself from what everything is by attempting to be the nothing that you are and including your nothingness in with God. God won't accept your nothingness. Who are you? Where are you? What are you? Why are you? Here it is in our lesson about each other. For today. Listen. You want to listen to who you really are? You listen with me. I am God's Son, complete and healed and whole, shining in the reflection of His love. In me is His creation sanctified and guaranteed eternal life. In me is love perfected, fear impossible, and joy established without opposition. I am the holy home of God Himself. I am the heaven where His love resides. I am His holy sinlessness itself, for in my purity abides His own. We are the bringers of salvation. We accept our part as saviors of the world, which through our joint forgiveness is redeemed. And this, our gift, is therefore given us. We look on everyone as brothers and perceive all things as kindly and as good. We do not seek a function that is past the gate of heaven. Knowledge will return when we have done our part. We are concerned only with giving welcome to the truth. Ours are the eyes through which Christ's vision sees a world redeemed from every thought of sin. Ours are the ears that hear the voice for God proclaim the world is sinless. Ours the minds that join together as we bless the world. And from the oneness that we have attained, we call to all our brothers, asking them to share our peace and consummate our joy. We are the holy messengers of God who speaks for Him and carrying His word to everyone whom He has sent to us. We learn that it is written on our hearts. And thus our minds are changed about the aim for which we came and which we seek to serve. We bring glad tidings to the Son of God who thought that He suffered. Now is He redeemed. And as He sees the gate of heaven, stand open before him, we will enter in and disappear into the heart of God. Thank you. Thank you for participating with me in ideas of body formulation that appear to have separated us within our own dream of death from the inevitability that we have always known within our own hearts and within our own minds. The certainty that life is eternal, and that the love that we're expressing now in this new idea of sharing together this quest for the search for a messenger that has been echoing to us since the beginning of time, we recognize within our own mind that in that moment of separation, that message was designed especially for you. With no regard, this with the resurrection of Jesus, with no regard to all the formulation of separate bodies that appear to be out there, the power and the practicing the certainty of the entirety of your apparent containment within your body form has brought about a reillusionment of the power of your mind. In the passion of the Christ, to simply decide within your own mind that the power that has been given the power that you now want to use in recognition of yourself. All of the power that there ever could have been in all of the universe as we appear out beyond the sun and beyond the stars and on out into the universe, we finally only contain within our own minds, and that we share together within that power our individual recognition of the power of eternal life being continually manifest in the joy that we feel now in our escape from the invention of space. Especially for you, watching at this moment, not 1,000 years ago, not 10,000 years from now, but on a decision that you made in the practice of an alternative within your own mind. You will be gone from here, and this earth will disappear in a flash of light. And you have been persuaded to return for this moment to foster this recognition in any other forms that appear to be separate and dark, that they may now recognize with you the entirety of that single mind. Because God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the minds with which we think. I'll be seeing you again very soon as we cross now out of the space-time. Let's say it together, remember? Over all of these centuries we have declared, God, bless us each.